The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, on this Wednesday, 20th of February, 2019. Now, the balance of the story, and like I said, this is important because this is going to start tamping down on the cops that have just had free reign just to grab whatever they can. In January of 2013, this is the background on the Tyson Timms, was the guy's name, used $42,000 of life insurance proceeds he received after his father's death to purchase a Land Rover sport utility vehicle. Timms, who had just moved to Indiana to help his aunt rebuild her life, was also having life difficulties at the time, having become addicted to an opioid pain medication he was prescribed for a painful foot injury. Timms' addiction escalated to such a point that he went from abusing his opioid prescription to using and then selling heroin to fund his addiction. Eventually, a man who worked as a confidential informant, gotta love those CIs, for law enforcement, connected Timms with undercover police officers posing as drug buyers. On two occasions, Timms sold the police a total of 4 grams of heroin for $385. He was arrested while driving to meet the police for a third sale. Timms pleaded guilty to one count of selling controlled substances, was sentenced to 6 years in jail, but was released for home detention and probation. The state also brought a separate lawsuit seeking forfeiture of Timms' SUV under a state law allowing the seizure of property used to facilitate a criminal offense. Now, the trial court denied the state's forfeiture claim after finding that Timms had purchased the SUV legally, not with crime-tainted funds, and that forfeiture would be grossly disproportional to the gravity of Timms' offense, thereby violating the Eighth Amendment's excessive fines clause. Now, this decision was initially affirmed on appeal, but was thereafter reversed by the Indiana Supreme Court, which ruled that the U.S. Supreme Court has never held that the Eighth Amendment's excessive fine clause applies to the states. In its amicus brief, the Rutherford Institute argued that the excessive fines clause does not limit the power of the states. Moreover, the Institute attorneys warned that the states and the municipalities face a strong temptation to use fines, civil penalties, asset forfeitures to bridge their fiscal shortfalls. And the Eighth Amendment is needed to prevent abuse of this power. Now, we are talking about Indiana here. These states are upside down. They are so far in debt. The state pension funds, teachers' funds, it doesn't matter. Firemen's, police. All of that money that's supposed to be being saved up for their retirement, it's not there. So like any responsible state government, it's their job to bring money into the coffers to pay the bills, right? Well, not so fast. When you start doing things of an extracurricular nature because you have a need, don't make it right. And anyhow, that's the view of the United States Supreme Court on this. Now, I'm sure there's going to be challenges because what state doesn't want excessive fines to pay bills? They all have shortfalls. What we're not finding out is the retirement funds, exactly what is left, if anything. There's no figures being compiled. There's no information coming out. Ergo, the people that think that they have retirement funds, that think in their older age they're going to be able to sit in the lounge chair and drink a mint julep and just enjoy life, play with the grandbabies, you know. Wait a minute. What do you mean I don't have a retirement? I worked my entire life. And now I can't retire because I'm broke because I don't have a retirement? Wait a minute. Where's my mint julep and my grandbabies? Oh, they're still there. But you're going to have to go back to work, and you probably won't have much time to do anything in the relaxation or family bonding categories. Hey, we're just not going to let you do it. You know, it's serious. I'm making a little jest out of this, but this is serious. Serious, as they say, as a heart attack. Well, old Roger Stone. You know, I in no way respect Roger Stone for anything. He's a political operative. But whether I like the guy or not has nothing to do with the guy being dealt dirt on a daily basis. How many D's did I get in there? Dirt on a daily basis. I got the three D's in there. Okay. Roger Stone has been ordered to appear in a D.C. courtroom tomorrow to explain an Instagram photo of the judge overseeing his case next to what appears to be crosshairs and what many interpreted it as a veiled threat. Wait a minute. What was that comedian that was holding the bloody head of Donald Trump? I'm sorry? Kathy Griffin. Yes, that stellar, over-the-hill female comedian. Not so funny anymore. By the way, she's been booed off some stages, which is really funny. A lot of these people you hear making these comedians making snide remarks, every once in a while we'll catch a video of them doing a stage act and they'll walk out on stage and the crowd starts booing. I guess the comedians don't think that's very funny. Now, the photo of Jackson is accompanied by a caption which reads, "Through legal trickery, deep state hitman Robert Mueller has guaranteed that my upcoming show trial is before Judge Amy Berman Jackson, an Obama-appointed judge who dismissed the Benghazi charges against Hillary and incarcerated Paul Manafort prior to his conviction for any crime." Whoops. Oops. This is going to get ugly. But folks, that's okay. They're not going to stop. They'll just keep doing it. They're going to keep doing it until they run out of steam or they can't do it anymore, or we don't allow them to do it anymore. And let me see what else might be pertinent for your ears today. Now, we do know that I think there's 13 or 14 states now that are filing suit against Donald Trump and building the wall. Okay. Well, this is actually from CNN, Communist Network News. The White House is moving forward with plans to shift existing federal funds to pay for construction of a wall on the southern border, a senior administration official and sources close to the White House said. But in the face... Okay, you need to stop this. Clickbait. I move my cursor and you start to play stuff that I don't want to hear. Oh, please, shut up. God. But in the face of several lawsuits challenging Trump's authority to declare a national emergency to reallocate billions of dollars toward a border wall, The White House does not plan to spend any of the funds that hinge on Trump's national emergency declaration, a source close to the White House told CNN. Instead, the White House plans to focus on building new portions of border wall using funds from the Defense Department's Drug Interdiction Program. Isn't that a conflict in terms? At any rate, and Treasury Department's Asset Forfeiture Fund, which do not rely on the National Emergency Declaration. Those two sources of funding alone amount to $3.1 billion. Now, this will allow the White House to begin construction on new border barriers without risking an injunction tied to the National Emergency Declaration. And at the same time, the White House will be able to put its plans in motion to access national emergency funds at a later date. As of now, the plan is to wait until the Supreme Court rules on Trump's use of National Emergency Declaration before using the controversial military construction funds that can only be accessed using the National Emergency Statute. Now, the White House also knows it cannot possibly spend the $8 billion in wall funding over the next year, so it plans to access those national emergency funds first. Donald's going to be around for 5 years, so he's going to have plenty of time to spend lots of money on the southern wall. I'm just adding that. While the administration has not yet been enjoined from accessing those military construction funds, the White House is bracing for the possibility that a federal court could issue an injunction on accessing funds tied to the national emergency as a result of the lawsuits. Now, want to make a bet here? Anybody going to bet against they're going to take this to the Ninth Circuit Court? Don't. It'd be a foolish bet. 16 states on Monday filed a lawsuit challenging Trump's authority to divert federal funds to build a border wall by declaring a national emergency. It's one of the several lawsuits challenging Trump's emergency declaration. While past presidents have declared national emergencies, they have largely been over non-controversial issues and not as a result of Congress rejecting the president's request for specific funds. So, wait a minute. How can you declare a state of national emergency if they've largely been over non-controversial issues? Kind of makes sense, but kind of it don't. The president wanted to show his supporters that he was taking drastic action to build the wall in spite of Congress's refusal to appropriate those funds, and the National Emergency Declaration was one way to do that. According to CNN, they say Trump also hopes that his national emergency authority will be validated at the Supreme Court and that he can tap into those military construction funds following a ruling next year. Announcing the national emergency now allows the government to put the wheels in motion to access those funds at a later date. Okay, I'm not going to bore you with the rest of the story. You get the sense of it. They're not going to stop. They're going to try everything. Now, here's the thing that the Democrats have going for them. Forget facts. Forget what's actually going on. Just stay in denial, and it doesn't exist, so therefore it's not a consideration. They don't see. What was the amount of fentanyl, Mike, you told me about fentanyl and what it really is? It's 100 times stronger than morphine. You think that might have the capability of causing a few deaths? Yeah, it kills a lot of people. So these drugs are being run over the border. That's right. From nifty, neat people down in Mexico that have their drug labs that concoct this stuff, and then they smuggle it right into the country. Now, this stuff is killing people. Now, I'm not even talking about the Mexicans and other than Mexicans, the criminals that have come in, murdered people, got drunk, drove the wrong way down highways, killed family in cars. We're not talking about people that are out there committing sex crimes against the American people. There is a whole list and category of crimes being committed. But you see, this is not a national emergency. See, the MS-13 gangs coming up from Guatemala, coming over our southern border, going to our major cities to set up drug distribution networks. That's don't pay any attention to that. That's not germane. That's not material. Don't look at that. And on and on and on. The Democrats just seem to believe that if they just want to make up their own minds about something, not based on anything except their imagination, well, then it's just fine. And then we'll go ahead and file a lawsuit. Well, I got news for you, folks. There's a lot of people out there that are really, really pissed off. And what's really strange about this, let me see if I can get back to my home page here real quick, which I can't. Because I want to tell you about what they're doing down here in Texas. They looked at this situation, saw gaping holes in our border down there, so what did they do? They drove the cars down there, parked them side by side. There's literal a fence of occupied vehicles watching the border. I'll do that story before we get out of here today. It'll take me too long to get to it. There'll be too much silence on air, but we'll get to it. I'm sorry?
Arriba, arriba!
Record number of Americans name U.S. government as most important problem. Are these the deplorables or are these the Hillary Clinton voters? Wait a minute. More than a third of Americans say the government dysfunction and poor leadership is the greatest problem facing the United States. The highest percentage ever recorded to say so, according to a new survey. The 35% of Americans said government was the most important problem, and nearly twice as high as the 18% recorded in November. Wow, that much of a jump? The previous high of 33% was recorded during the 2013 U.S. government shutdown. Prior to 2001, the highest percentage mentioning government was 26% during the Watergate scandal in 1972. Thus, the current measure is the highest in at least 55 years. Now, Gallup has conducted monthly surveys since 1939 to see what Americans felt was the most important problems facing the country and has regularly compiled mentions of the government since 1964. Now, this latest poll was taken from February 1 to February 10 of this year. An analysis of responses to the question from the latest Gallup survey finds that 11% of Americans specifically cite Republican President Donald Trump as the most important problem, while 5% name the Democrat Party and 1% name Congress. Poor Donald. About half of those who say the government is the most important problem blame both political parties or cite gridlock, lack of cooperation, or the federal shutdown more generally. Since January 2017, about the time Mr. Trump took office, the government has been the top problem each month except in November 2017 and July of 2018. Trump's first 2 years in office so far produced the highest average mentions of government as the most important problem for recent presidents. Americans view the government itself as a problem rather than the means of solving problems have increased over the past two decades, the polling organization says. Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's the music. All righty. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
To get excited. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The other day, I did a partial list of fake reports, let's say, a list of hoax hate crimes in the Trump era. And the latest, we're all liberal foo-foo actor Jussie Smollett is accused of staging a racist and anti-gay attack on himself, which Smollett blamed on supporters of Trump. Now, Smollett's alleged fake hate crime appears to be the latest instance of liberals manufacturing hate crimes for attention in the Trump era. The Daily Caller News Foundation compiled some of the most outrageous fake hate crimes since Trump was elected in a rough chronological order. Well, here's one from November 2016. A Muslim woman at the University of Michigan received a national attention from national outlets like the Washington Post. Watch out for that 16-year-old with the MAGA hat on. In November 2016, after she claimed a drunk 20-something man threatened to light her on fire if she didn't remove, how do you say this word? Hijab? Hijab? Okay. The university condemned the hateful attack, which turned out to be a hoax. Bisexual student fakes Trump-inspired hate crime, November of 2016. You mean the half right and half not right? Our subject, oh my goodness, Taylor Volk, an openly bisexual senior at the North Park University, claimed to be the target of hateful, wonder what he's better at. Wonder if anybody ever asked him. In any rate, I'm sorry. Claimed to be the target of hateful notes and emails following Trump's election in 2016. Volk told NBC News that I just want them to stop. But the them referenced by Volk turned out to be herself, as the whole thing was fabricated. Gas station racism goes viral, then police debunk it. November 2016, Philadelphia woman Ashley Boyer claimed in November 2016 that she was harassed at a gas station by white Trump-supporting males, one of whom pulled a weapon on her. Boyer claimed that the men proceeded to talk about the election and how they're glad they won't have to deal with much longer. Boyer deleted her post after it went viral and claimed the men had been caught and were facing criminal charges. Local police debunked her account. White men rob Muslim woman of her hijab. Is that right, Michael? Hijab. Okay.
Hijab, also hijab.
Hijab. Hijab. Okay. Do I have to say it like that? Hijab. Okay. At any rate, white men rob Muslim woman over here hijab and wallet, except it never happened. An 18-year-old Muslim woman in Louisiana claimed in November 2016 that the two white men, one of whom was wearing a Trump hat, attacked and robbed her, taking her wallet and hijab while yelling racial slurs. She later admitted to the Lafayette Police Department that she made the whole thing up. Church organist vandalizes own church, November 2016. A church organist was arrested in May of 2017 after he was found responsible for spray painting a swastika, an anti-gay slur, and the words Hail Trump on his own church in November 2016. When the story first broke, media outlets tied the hoax to Trump's election. The offensive graffiti at St. David's is among the numerous incidents that have occurred in the wake of Trump's election day win. Washington Post reported that. A drunk white man attacked Muslim woman in a story that also never happened, December 2016. Another 18-year-old Muslim woman, this time in New York, was the subject of breathless headlines in December 2016 after she claimed to have been attacked by a group of Donald Trump supporters on a New York subway while onlookers did nothing. The woman, Yasmin Sued, would go on to confess that she made the whole thing up. White guy sets his own car on fire, paints racial slurs on his own garage, December 2016. Denton, Texas, resident David Williams set his own car on fire and painted the N-word lovers on his home garage in an apparent attempt to stage a hate crime. Local police investigated the arson as a hate crime. Williams and his wife, Jenny, collected more than $5,000 from the Good Samaritans via a GoFundMe page before the hoax was exposed. Pranksters trick liberal journalists into spreading anti-Trump hoax, December 2016, as tales of Donald Trump-inspired hate crimes are spread far and wide by liberal journalists. After Trump's election, one online prankster decided to test just how easy it is to fool journalists. The prankster sent Mike.com writer Sarah Harvard a fictional story in which Native Americans claimed to have been harassed by an alleged Trump supporter who thought she was Mexican. Now, despite no evidence backing up the claim, Harvard spread the fake story. Emails the prankster shared with the Daily Caller showed. Let's take this break. I'm not done yet. No. There's more fake news.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just calling to tell you what a great product you have. I had used this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
More of the fake news? Not that we're creating. It's what they're creating. Student writes anti-Muslim graffiti on his own door, February of 2017. A Muslim student at Beloit College wrote an anti-Muslim graffiti on his own dorm room door. The student was reportedly motivated by a desire to seek attention after a Jewish student was targeted with an anti-Semitic note. April 2017, Israeli man behind anti-Semitic bomb threats in the U.S. Media outlets didn't wait to find out who was behind a string of bomb threats targeting synagogues and Jewish schools before linking the threats to Trump. A U.S.-Israeli man was charged in April 2017 and indicted in February of 2018 for the threats. A former reporter for The Intercept was also charged in the March 2017 with making several copycat threats. Hoax at St. Olaf, May 2017. Students at St. Olaf College in Minnesota staged protest and boycotted classes in May of 2017 after racist notes targeted black students were found around campus, earning coverage in national media outlets like the Washington Post. It later came out that a black student was responsible for the racist notes. The student carried out the hoax in order to draw attention to concerns about the campus climate. Fake hate at Air Force Academy goes viral, September 2017. The Air Force Academy was thrown into a turmoil in September 2017 when horrific racist notes were found at the Academy's preparatory school. Go home the N-word, read one of the notes. The superintendent, Lieutenant General J.B. Silveria, went viral with an impassioned speech addressing the racist notes. 2 months later, authorities determined that one of the students targeted by the notes was also the person responsible for writing them. Kansas State, fake hate crime, November 2017. A student at Kansas State University filed a police report in November 2017 over racist graffiti left on his car. Go home, N-boy. And whites only, read the racist graffiti, which the student later admitted to writing himself. Racist graffiti carried out by non-white student, November 2017. Another instance of racist graffiti that the same month also turned out to be a hoax. A Missouri high school investigated after racial slurs were left on a bathroom mirror in November 2017, only to find the student responsible was non-white. Mikey, my computer's locking up on me. Does my computer hate these stories? Okay, and what's the little circle mean there that is going round and round? It's working? Or is this a countdown to the whole damn thing blowing up? I don't know which. Okay, do I have any? Okay, here we go. Ta-da. Are you ready, computer? Are you ready yet? No, it's not ready yet. Yeah. Yeah, it's not responding. Gee, I know that. You don't have to tell me, I know it. I don't want to lose my place here. Mikey, come here. Help me, help me, help me. Okay, what do we do now?
You wait.
I wait?
You know, I'll cue up the Jeopardy music.
Thanks. Well, wasn't it Tom in Philadelphia that told me, he says, why aren't you using Mozilla Firefox? Why are you still using that Internet Explorer? There is no safe place to run and read. Okay. Mikey, you know, dead air on radio is not a good thing here. And don't play the Mexican hat dance again. You were just getting ready to do it, weren't you? All right, let me start just closing crap down here, maybe. Oh, I'm going to close it all now. Oops. I'm even going to close that. Okay. Why is it when I close out Skype, it doesn't want to pay attention? It's just giving me a blank screen here. Okay, let me get desperate here. Okay, something's happening here. Okay, I made one disappear. Mikey, this is not funny. You tried doing this stuff. The only thing that I can think of... How long can you tread water? I don't know, and I don't want to find out. Yeah, go play a Casio Occasional Cortex there.
In her brief time in the political limelight, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has said a lot of interesting stuff.
I think that there's a lot of people more concerned about being precisely, factually, and semantically correct than about being morally right.
But being factually correct is important.
It's absolutely important.
The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue...
The world's going to end in 12 years...
your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it? This is our World War II.
What this requires is massive government intervention.
It does. It does. Yeah, I have no problem saying that.
The right does try to mischaracterize what we're doing as though it's like some kind of massive government takeover. Obviously, what we're trying to do is, well, obviously it's not that.
You're talking about zero carbon emissions, no use of fossil fuels within 12 years.
That is the goal. It's ambitious. And
how is that possible?
Stupid is what I thought.
To drive an electric car.
It's going to require a lot of rapid change that we don't even conceive as possible right now.
So not only dumb and totally ignorant of everything, but utterly self-assured. If there were a clinical exam for self-esteem, she'd be in the 100th percentile. How do people get like that? Is it our education system? Is it high schools? Is it colleges?
So today, Ocasio-Cortez rolled out what is a horrific, frightening, frankly, piece of legislation. She's calling it the Green New Deal. Now, everything we have been saying about the new radical, extreme Democratic Party, what they were hiding in 2018, now it's all in writing. Impractical, misguided, economically guaranteed to be devastating plans ever championed by any American politician.
And I think that all great American programs, everything from the Great Society to the New Deal, started with a vision for our future. Reparations are for the damage done by the New Deal.
Has she been channeling FDR?
All great American programs, everything from the Great Society to the New Deal. Reparations are for the damage done by the New Deal and redlining. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of people more concerned precisely, factually, and semantically correct than about being morally right.
But being factually correct is important.
It's absolutely important.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right. Waiting for the computer to fire back up. In meantime, there has been... Now, we heard people that... was it the deplorables or it was the soon-to-be-sainted people that wanted Hillary in office? And I was wondering about hate... heat. Now, there's a Freudian slip for you. I was wondering about the vote processes and how the voting happened out there. And was it honest? And well, we did hear, was it Hillary that claimed that she should have won the election because she won by 2 or 3 million votes? Was it 3 million? At any rate, Mark Anderson wrote this story for American Free Press. Major vote fraud breakthrough. Access to computer voting logs granted to Dr. Laura Presley from Texas, Austin, Texas. After years of tireless effort, Fair Vote activist Dr. Laura Presley has made a breakthrough that some are predicting could expose rampant computerized vote fraud in one of America's most populous states and might blow the lid off the theft of elections across the country. In December, a court granted Dr. Presley of True Texas Elections, LLC, unprecedented access to sensitive paper election audit logs from 2016, 2017, and 2018, which are a highly revealing record of all the activities from the computerized vote counting system. But while the 151st Judicial District Court of Harris County, Texas, ordered the county's election office to release the audit logs, officials, evidently deathly afraid of the logs and what they might reveal, are shamelessly continuing to stonewall. I did get the 2017 Texas State Constitutional Amendment election log, yes, but regarding the other national ones, the 2016 presidential and the 2018 March primary, now the county and its lawyers claim they just don't have these records to prove how the elections are tabulated in Harris County. Dr. Presley explained, more than 2 years ago, I filed an open records request for the original 2016 general election central accumulator audit logs from Harris County. but the records were never produced. Subsequently, more than 6 months ago, I re-requested the 2016 official audit logs and additionally asked for the 2017 general and 2018 primary computerized tabulation audit logs, but these records were never produced. With the state's 22-month retention deadline for keeping election records looming, as of last fall, Dr. Presley sought injunctive relief and a temporary injunction was granted. With the election records legally saved from the shredder, Dr. Presley filed a motion for summary judgment, which cleared the final obstacles for obtaining the audit records. Underscoring the fundamental aspects of electronic election fraud, she explained, "We always hear about voter fraud, and that really has to do with voters going in to the polls who are not legally allowed to vote. Illegal voters are important, but they're a distraction when you can change a million votes with one push of a button at the main counting computer." Dr. Presley has crisscrossed Texas over the last 2 to 3 years, having given 200 presentations on the need for election integrity. She found that many of the counties had experienced vote count irregularities, much like she experienced in Travis County as an Austin City Council candidate in 2014. When she lost the race in a questionable manner that suggested officials were not following the state's laws for counting the vote. "My background is computer technology. I have a PhD in chemistry and physics. I spent 17 years in the semiconductor industry as an engineer and manager, and I've managed engineers and I've managed software engineers. So when I look at these logs, these main tabulation computers, I can read what those itemized comments are. It's very interesting across Texas what these logs say. They record error messages. They record when the operator of the tabulation counting computer bypasses warnings on the computer. They are very, very important. They tell you what's going on during an election night. In Travis County and beyond," she added, "memory cards, electronic ballot boxes from the individual precinct voting machines on which individuals cast their votes are being put into the main counting computer, and they're corrupted. Nobody ever hears about that. In the counting offices where memory cards from all the various precincts are coming in so the votes recorded on the cards can be tabulated, Dr. Presley has stationed," sorry, we got a little rip here in my AFP magazine. Thank you, post office. She said, "We've watched 20 to 25 counties. Disturbingly, while on duty as an official vote watcher in 2018 in Travis County, Dr. Presley said the technicians would just let the errors go without virtually no remedial action taken." She concluded, "The focus on counting is a paradigm shift. There are over 3,000 counties in the U.S., and each county has a main computer, which runs programs to count the vote. If the vote count is inaccurate, or if there's some sort of irregularity or illegality, she says, or fraud or hijacking that occurs, we as voters really don't have legal standing to go back and look at it." You know, remember the big deal? John Kerry, George Bush, Chits, Chads. Oh, okay. Oh, the nasty little computer cards. It's so hard to read if the damn thing is hanging or it's a Chad or it was intentionally punched, whatever the case may be. Okay. So whatever happened, ladies and gentlemen, with the voter machines with a paper receipt that it spits out, that tells the person that just cast the vote where their vote was cast. And if it shows up that, well, it shows that my vote went to another candidate, you're right there at the polling station. You're right there, got those little old ladies sitting there at those card tables, you know, taking care of things. Oh, you simply walk over your receipt and look. Hey, you see this? This is not who I voted for. There's all kinds of shenanigans. As Joe Stalin said, it doesn't matter who you vote for. It just matters who counts the votes. Yes, Mikey? Okay. In order to finish my list here. Okay. Let me see if I can get back. Boy, my computer really didn't like this. Somebody looked like somebody planted a virus in the Daily Caller. My computer went and just freaked out and shut down. Okay, let me see where I left off. Was that Kansas State? Oh, here we go. Oh, and there's the break. I'll have just enough time on the other side to complete my list. Whew. I think my computer hates me. Is that a hate crime?
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we are back, and I've got a surprise here. I've got Dr. Laura Presley online. Hello, doctor. How are you?
Well, hello. It's so wonderful to talk to you. I just had one of your dear listeners call me and say, they're talking about your case.
Well, and actually, I was covering the article by Mark Anderson in the American Free Press, and I just completed it, and I was shocked to hear that you had called in. And I have a lot of questions for you, and unfortunately, we only have about about 3 minutes left in the program. Would you be available for interview tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely. That'd be wonderful. Yes. What time would be? We can work out a time. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm on from 6 to 8 p.m., so if there's any conflict of schedule, we can work around that. But okay. I have the utmost respect for you because you were at the you were at loggerheads with the Austin City Council, and when you ran for the City Council, things kind of seemed to get skewed. How did that happen?
Oh, maybe. Well, you know what's very interesting? We caught Travis County, who's the county here in Austin, Texas, corrupting our election with electronic voting machines, and we knew the numbers were not accurate, and we started asking questions, and the county couldn't answer them. They couldn't produce the documents to do a real recount in the state of Texas, and we filed a lawsuit. And, you know, God bless the Texas Supreme Court. You know, they came out with a ruling about 3 weeks ago, and Mark Anderson is a very dear friend. He's an amazing man, very brave journalist, and he did a great story on our case. And, you know, the Supreme Court, we got 85% of what we were asking for. We didn't get everything. They gave some dog whistles to the Texas Secretary of State's office and to Travis County that they were doing things not right, not following law. And it was a fabulous ruling out of the Texas Supreme Court.
Well, we'll be able to cover more of the inner workings of all this chicanery. I can't think of any other word.
That's a good word.
You know, what I find fascinating here is we have people that are now advocating direct democracy. In other words, for a presidential election or, well, any election, that we just go by popular vote. And what was fascinating to me, Dr. Presley, was the fact that somebody come out and looked at the red states versus the blue states, where the voting was coming from and who the votes were being cast for. And what we have here is basically all pretty much red states, except for the major cities that happen to be blue dots in the red states, which I found rather fascinating. Because Hillary Clinton was complaining that, what, she lost by 2 or 3 million votes, and that's what the popular vote showed. But there's such a thing called the Electoral College, and
yes,
they don't seem to like that, so they want to go direct democracy now. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, you know, I think one thing, what's going on today in Texas and around the country, candidates are winning the vote, they're just not winning the count. All right? So there's a, you know, we focus a lot around the country on illegal voting, dead people voting, when really we should be focused on the illegalities with the counting. Because Stalin said it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts.
Who counts?
And that's what my mission is to focus on that. And that popular vote would just play right into Stalin's hands, wouldn't it?
Oh, it sure would. Well, Doctor, I'm out of time here. Do me a favor, Dr. Presley, hang on. My board guy in there will get your number, and I will call you tomorrow, and I'll have you on air tomorrow.
All right. I love it. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you very much calling in, and thank the listener for calling you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for what you do.
All righty. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for being here, folks. That was a nice little pleasant surprise. We'll see you tomorrow.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.